This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
NFL fans, are you hungry for a big win this weekend? DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, has you covered. New customers can bet just $5 on any NFL team to win their game, and if they do, you can win $200 in free bets. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN in all caps. Bet just $5 on any NFL team to win their game and win $200 in free bets. If they win, you win with promo code FANRUN in all caps this week at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older in Tennessee only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line. 1-800-889-9789.
We're going to give it to them. This is Talk Sports.
Leave one wolf alive and the sheep are never safe.
Back in the booth, back on the airwaves, coming at you live from the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. John Reed, Draven Fine, Hayden Wallen. They're already yelling at each other for some reason as the intro started.
Well, he kind of came at me for no reason, so did Chance.
Have you realized that you're just the common denominator here?
I don't get it. I don't know. I'm sitting here telling Chance, have a great day, my friend. Just trying to be nice, trying to be friendly.
And he essentially told you to go to hell.
Literally. Sorry. I'll just quit being nice, I guess.
You told him you weren't boys a couple months ago, and he hasn't forgiven you.
Not boys. I'm not boys with Draven. What am I going to do? Cry about it.
He's not going to cry about it. I guess he's just not going to be nice to you. Just you come in here, you do your job, he'll do his. I guess
that's
okay, how he wants to
that's
go.
That's fine. If we're going to operate like that, that's cool. We can roll like that.
And then you and Hayden are yelling at each other for some reason. What are you guys arguing about?
You tell me, Hayden. What's your problem this morning? Who pissed in your Cheerios?
I'm just saying that you talked about how if you think baseball's boring, but you're watching the first game of the NBA in October.
I thought both games were fun last night. I thought we learned a lot about all four teams last night, Hayden. All four championship contenders, potentially.
I'll say we learned a little bit more about the baseball teams.
Yeah. What are you talking about?
I'll say those were a little bit closer and more exciting. Both.
What were you watching last night?
All three.
Okay.
Or all four, I guess, however you want to look at it.
I don't buy that. When you're watching two games back and forth, you have one game that you're really focused on, you have the other game that's like the secondary channel. You kind of flip to that when the first game goes to commercial.
Now, the first game was at 5 o'clock, and it was, going on, for mostly, uninterrupted. But I watched, basically the entire Braves game, if not the entire Braves game. I mean, the season started with the Bucks and Nets. I flipped over a little bit. With baseball, it's a little bit different than football because, there's time in between pitches. So it's a little bit easier to channel surf and watch both of those, actually.
Yeah.
But I watched a lot of the Braves games. Oh, man, that was a tough loss for the Braves. And now you have that moment, and I always talk about it with fan bases, where you just feel like you are tortured and you feel like you've ruined your chance and like, oh, no, here we go again. And that is definitely set in with most of my Atlanta friends. You hope that it doesn't set in with the team. You hope they're not sitting there thinking, oh no, here we go again. We were up 3-1 last year, blew it to this team. We were up 2-0 and three runs in the bottom of the eighth inning. And we lost. You hope that the team hasn't let that defeatist mentality come in, but a lot of my friends who are Braves fans think, oh no, we just blew the series because we had the Dodgers dead. We had them dead. You saw some fans leaving LA in the seventh inning. I don't really know what the point is. It feels like if you're trying to beat traffic in LA, you're just wasting your time because I feel like there's always traffic in LA.
Right.
You had Dodgers fans with their hands in their head. Or I guess it'd be their head in their hands, looking defeated. You had them. And then Corey Bellinger has gone from loser to hero over the last, 2 weeks for the Dodgers, or a week and a half, really, between game 5 against the Giants and last night crushing that three-run bomb. That I know a lot of Braves fans hate Luke Jackson or don't trust him, but I, you know, after the game they asked him what would he do different. He's like, nothing. And the next reporter, it was like an awkward silence. He's like, nothing. I would do nothing different. And then they just kind of sat there and like, well, next question. And then takes him a second to figure out who's asking the next question. They have to go to the microphones. So then 20 seconds later, he's like, why not? Why would you not do anything different? And he's just like, threw a great pitch. I wanted to go high and away, and I threw it better than I thought, and the guy just smacked it out of the park. Sometimes you can't do anything about it. But, like, I didn't it's tough whenever you're that pitcher and you are, you know, you know that you gave up the home run that might have swung the series.
You like those comments, too? To just be like, eh, do it all the same.
Well, I mean, I think that shows confidence in, you know, your manager or whoever calls pitches there. Sometimes it's the manager. Yeah. Sometimes it's, you know, the guy specifically for that. Sometimes the catcher calls him. I think it shows confidence in them. But also, like, I think that's how you want to pitch Bellinger. He's not very good at hitting high pitches. And he just happened to smack one out. I hope he is still confident in himself because they are going to need him. Again, in this series, like they need him out of the bullpen. He's one of their best arms, if not their best arm, and they're going to need him. I know he's not their closer, but, I mean, he's a pretty good setup guy for them. You feel pretty good if you can get to that 7th, 8th, 9th. But now you let the Dodgers off the mat because, you know, if you go up 3-0, it's pretty much over. Pretty much. Now, you know, that would really be testing Atlanta sports.
I was going to say.
You'd feel a hell of a lot better up 3-0 than you do right now at 2-1, I'll tell you that much. Especially when you got to turn around and go again today and you are looking at like maybe a bullpen game where you're trying to piece it together. And then you start thinking about the demons from last year. Now, on one hand, the Braves, you know, game three last year, they got smacked around like 13-1.
It was either two or three. I can't remember which one it was.
I'm 95% sure it was game three. And then they turn around one game four, and we're up 3-1.
Okay.
And you thought that was them winning the series. So, like, you know, they got embarrassed before. You know, last year the Dodgers embarrassed them. It was a different variety where they just, you know, imploded and scored 13 runs on them or whatever it was. And then the Braves turn around and responded the next day and won. So, like, this team has showed some strong mental makeup. But, man.
They lost game three, 15-3.
Okay.
Yeah.
But I think it was like 13-1, basically, like in the second inning. And
yeah. Won 10-2, and then obviously lost three in a row.
So they bounced back, won the next game 10-2?
They did. Yeah, okay. 10-2. They dominated that game.
The good news is, if you're the Braves, you don't have to wait a couple of days or, like, you know, in football, wait a week to get back out there and try again because you're right back on the mound today.
Is that a good thing? Is that a good thing?
Coming off
a kind of heartbreaker like that to just kind of have to revamp in such a short amount of time? I don't know if that's a positive.
I mean, I think it is like for your mental makeup. I think it is for the fans. Like, you're on to the next thing. It's a new day. If you win today, you don't have to worry about it. Or if you can just get in there and have a good first inning, you can put that to bed.
Mm.
Now, obviously, if it spills over and you lose the next two in L.A., like, you're going to be like, okay, well,
yeah,
you know, we kind of blew it. But then you get to reset and go back home. So that's the good news for the Braves. They have at least another guaranteed home game. Game six, they're guaranteed a game six in Atlanta. Will that be a closeout game? Yep. For whom? I don't know. We'll see. Look at Hayden. They can barely contain his excitement.
I know. Hasn't quit smiling. Look at him.
That's pitiful.
I know.
Living vicariously through another team.
How's your team doing, Hayden? Huh? Where's your team at?
About to have a top five pick.
Because those always matter in baseball.
No.
Get you Dansby Swanson out there.
I mean, our two top five picks worked out pretty good, so.
I don't want to talk about the Washington Nationals right now, Hayden.
They were number one overall picks, but I mean, it's a little different.
Dansby, but I don't want to talk about the Nationals right now. But he couldn't contain his excitement, texting the group chat, poor Cam.
Cam is not even a Braves
Atlanta
fan.
Native.
Yeah. Cam is not even
he's
a Braves
been getting behind
fan.
Him,
even
he's been
that.
Watching him. Rooting him
no,
on.
He hasn't.
That's what he said. That's what he said.
I guarantee you he might have watched half that game last night. Maybe.
I would say he watched zero of it.
Yeah.
Unless, like, I guess if he was working, he would be, like, on at the
yeah.
at his bar. Like, he was probably watching it, I guess, through that. But. And then, yeah, I mean, I thought the Red Sox-Astros game was great, too. I thought it was a really good night of baseball. I thought, you know, it was a game four in Boston that was, you know, mired by poor umpiring. That was tough to see. Was it 21 official missed strike calls?
Yeah. It was most this postseason.
21? Wow. It was by far the most in a game all year, I feel like.
I don't know about that if it's been all year, but I did say it was the most for the postseason. That includes pitchers that should have been called a strike that were called balls, and pitchers that were called balls that should have been called a strike.
Yeah.
All those.
Including a game changer in the ninth inning. Looks like he had a strikeout. They called a ball. Then it turns into a base hit, and then that turns into a 7-run rally.
Were those all with two outs?
I thought that the strikeout that wasn't called was with one out.
Okay.
But it would have set up, obviously two outs and made it a different situation. The guy who ended up getting the game-winning RBI would have been out, so I think it would have gone a little bit differently. But, Red Sox fans upset, but they get to get right back at it. 5 o'clock, is that better for you? You okay with this team schedule?
Yes. My goodness. I guess it's just kind of a flip-flop. Do they do this every other day?
I would say that they know that the Dodgers need to be at night, but again, they didn't want to put the Astros and Red Sox up first if they didn't have to.
Yeah, all that happened last time with two outs.
Oh, it was two outs, so they should have been.
Yeah, Castro singled to center with two outs.
Okay. Yeah, that's tough. Should have got the strike three call. Evaldi doesn't get it, and then the 7-run two out rally sinks them. That's been a fun series too, though. So usually I agree, Draven. I prefer basketball to baseball, but not postseason baseball. Postseason baseball is good, especially with these four teams right here. It's pretty evenly contested. There's some drama there. We'll see what happens. Boston hosting Game 5. Chris Sale against Valdez. That'll be a rematch of Game 1. And I guess the Braves haven't officially announced the starter yet.
Yeah, they're probably going to throw a straight bullpen game. Kind of like L.A. did the first game.
Right. So, that seems to be problematic for the Braves, but the Dodgers were able to do that in Game 5. It was Game 5 against the Giants they did it. They did it Game 1 as well? They didn't do it Game 1, did they?
No, they did Game 1 of this series. Didn't they start with the bullpen game this series?
They went back-to-back because they did it in Game 5.
I was at the Tennessee game. Isn't Knebel a bullpen guy?
I just think it would be weird if they did it back-to-back games because they did it against the Giants. That was what everybody was mad about.
Oh yeah.
They pitched Knebel against the Giants in Game 5. Sure, they didn't turn around and start him against the Braves as well.
That's what they did.
Well, either way.
He pitched for Game 1.
Yep.
So they were starting back-to-back games?
Yep.
Okay.
Went through one inning.
Okay. But yeah, they just pieced it together. Okay. Yeah, that was a Saturday where I didn't watch any of the baseball either. I was gone all day. But he started Game 5 as well. We're off and running in the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studio 16. Deliciously refreshing flavors. Enjoy it this postseason baseball season, this college football season, this NFL season. Delight, refreshing, delicious. White Claw Hard Seltzer, please drink responsibly. Hayden, send us a break. We'll come back. We'll talk some NBA action from last night as well. And there's a big lawsuit going on right now. Tennessee versus Jeremy Pruitt. Real battle of the wits here. Stick with us. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. Before we get into Tennessee's lawsuit, I guess we can recap all of last night's action. Draven glued to the TV to watch Bucks, Nets, and Lakers, Warriors. Let's hear it. What are your takeaways? You said you learned so much about all four teams, so what do you got?
Did indeed. Where do you want to start? You want to start with the first game? We'll start with Nets Bucks.
Whatever your takeaways were, you said you learned a lot, so let me know.
So I think the Nets, the issue wasn't Kyrie Irving. We've had all this distraction, Kyrie Irving this, Kyrie Irving that. I don't think need Kyrie, don't need Kyrie. I don't think that's a problem. They have zero post presence. Why did they not solve that in the offseason, John?
With what?
Somebody. Anybody. Go get Dwight Howard. Go get somebody who can be a post presence. You have Claxton. skinny. No offense to Claxton. He's not the worst player, but he's just not big enough to handle anybody in the paint. Giannis is getting free dunks left and right, open shots in the paint, offensive rebounds. I mean,
no one's going to stop Giannis, though.
That's fine, but you got to have somebody that can at least maybe slow him down a little bit. You're not going to beat the Bucks in a 7-game series when there's literally nobody on the floor who can handle him. Nobody.
There's very few people in the league who can handle him, though.
Well, that's fine, but they again, who's their post guy? Who's their post presence down low?
I mean, that's fine, but again, if there's nobody in the league that can do it, like, you think Dwight Howard's going to stop Giannis?
I'm not saying stop. You can at least try to slow him down a little bit. You can at least have somebody that can affect him in the paint a little bit. There's nobody last night. Blake Griffin? I mean, you got Paul Millsap getting 5 minutes off the bench? Like,
I just don't think there's anybody that was available in free agency that could bother.
Couldn't get Dwight? Couldn't get somebody, anybody? Go trade for Bagley.
Dwight can't.
I mean.
Like, Dwight can't guard Giannis either. Like, Giannis is. He did this same thing to DeAndre Ayton. Like, I mean, who's.
So what? You don't think this is a weakness on the team that your best post player, again, is washed up Blake Griffin, who can barely dunk anymore? Like, is that the resolution to the problem? Because that's going to be pretty big if that's their plan season.
I think you could say that's a fair concern that they don't have any post players. I think Claxton isn't that bad, honestly. Come on, John. Claxton's a fine big man. He's okay.
He's not very good. He's pretty small for a big guy.
I mean, when you have three max players, you can't have a completely like well-rounded roster. I mean, it's some of the concessions you have to make.
Well,
I mean, now, if you tell me like they could trade Kyrie for some type of big man, sure. Like, I mean, if you could trade Kyrie for Ben Simmons, it would solve all these problems because Ben Simmons has a better chance than most of those guys of stopping Giannis, just the way his size, strength, and defense is. But like when you have a $35-40 million max player, not with the team, you might have a couple of holes. Like, if you want to tell me that your takeaway is that the Bucks are better than the Nets this year without Kyrie, then I think I agree, because I think the Bucks got better. Some of those guys they had in there shooting threes seemed better than the guys they had last year.
Mm-hmm.
That Nwora guy that they're shooting threes. Pat Connaughton was lighting it up. Thought they looked pretty good. Grayson Allen looks like he's going to fit there. But my takeaway wasn't that they need a big man. They just need to play better.
I mean, don't you think that's kind of part of the issue, though, when the Bucks dominated inside?
There's five big men in the league that can make a difference, and like they're all big max players that they're not going to be able to get. It's just kind of how I feel. I mean, they're trying to throw old big guys out there mixed in with one young guy of Claxton. But, I mean, yeah, like Paul Millsap and Blake and the return of LaMarcus Aldridge, that's not going to do the trick, sure.
Especially, I mean, think about it. Like, just think about it in the East, man. Sixers, you got to go up against Joel Embiid in a seven-game series. I mean, he would dominate this team. He would. Who's going to stop him?
They still wouldn't win the series, though. I mean, it'd be like a lot like what the Hawks did. I mean, he dominated.
That's fine. They're still going to get – Embiid's going to still at least probably carry him, at least keep him in the series.
Sure.
He could maybe even win in it, honestly, especially if you have James Harden, who can't make a shot anymore, I don't know what the hell his deal is.
Again, though, like you're looking at Embiid, like, who the hell are you going to get that's going to stop Embiid? Dwight ain't going to stop Embiid
either. That's fine. I'm not saying stop. I'm saying at least slow down, factor, something, anybody.
You think
anybody better than Blake Griffin?
Do you think there are talented big men that can play like offense in 2021 that are just out here available? Because I don't think there
are very
many.
You don't even need a guy that can play the offense. You just need a scrappy defender. You're telling me there's not any scrappy defender?
That's kind of what Claxton's supposed to be.
Well, he's too small for it. He's way too small. He could get dominated by any of these guys. Sorry, no offense again to him. He's not a bad player. He's a good hustle player off the bench. That's about it.
They should trade for Robin Lopez then.
Yeah.
I guess. I mean, I think it's a one game. We'll see what happens. Now, Durant can't be too happy looking around. Like, it would be frustrating. If they get off to a bad start, I do wonder if the, Kyrie tensions boil over.
You think Kyrie like makes a difference that much for this team? Like a 23-point blowout, like getting dominated all game.
I
don't
think the Bucks are 23 points better than the Nets on like every night. I mean, I just think.
I mean, that's fine, whatever. But they did blow them out. They dominated the whole game. The Nets weren't really close.
I think Kyrie's really good, and at the very least, like you could trade him for something if you didn't want him. Like right now, you can't trade him for anything either. But the Bucks, you saw them, Giannis continuing what he was doing in the finals, Middleton hitting shots. That was pretty much it outside of the bench. You know, like I said, the Nwora and Connaughton give you 35. Whereas really it was Durant, Harden, Patty Mills trying to do it by themselves. I guess Claxton got 12
points. I was not
very
impressed with Harden, though.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't watch close enough to, have a real takeaway from Harden.
Like, I get the whole, we talked about how good of a passer he was when we first got to the Nets, all the assists, blah, blah, blah. But I don't know, man. I think you got to be a little bit more aggressive at times.
The Bucks really good. Now, what about in the night game?
Lakers can't win a championship. They're not going to win a championship. They might not get out of the first round. This team's not good, John. This team is just not – they are not very good. I think we could talk about LeBron and, oh, you know, him tweeting, you know, don't forget about me, blah, blah, blah. No. Russell Westbrook, this is what Russell Westbrook does in big games. It is. This is what he does in big games. He's terrible. The floor spacing was off. Like, Anthony Davis was great. LeBron was pretty good. Some kind of silly turnovers there in the fourth quarter late in the game when the Warriors kind of going on their run. Don't know what he's doing on those. But both those guys were good. Russell Westbrook is, like, what does he do good for this team? He can't play defense.
It was wild watching that. He can't shoot. It does seem like that is going to be a bad marriage. Now, Westbrook in the past has struggled at the very beginning, you know, both with the Rockets and the Wizards. And then, you know, in the middle of the season has really peaked. And, you know, by the time the regular season is ended, you're like, okay, this guy's really good. And then the playoffs get there, and then he kind of goes back.
Yeah, he reverts back to it.
Now, with all those teams, he was supposed to be at least the second best player. That's not the case here in L.A. He should be the third best player at most.
But the problem is, like, last year, LeBron, AD, they started to get banged up, and the team pretty much falls apart because they're just not good enough. I think Russell Westbrook doesn't really change that up much.
In the regular season, he can give you a lot of minutes.
Yeah, he'll run around, whatever, but, like, he just doesn't fit this team. He doesn't.
I mean, what fits the team?
They just need another. They need another shooter. They need another shooter. They do.
It does seem like they have a roster. I mean, last night you sound like Reggie Miller. Reggie Miller kept bitching about the shooting, and he's like, "Yeah, they're struggling from three. They're 9 of 21." I'm like, "That's pretty good. 9 of 21 is pretty solid." They end the game 15 of 42, but that's 36%. That's not a bad shooting night. They had some guys. Now, that was, you know, really bolstered by LeBron hitting 5 threes, but
yeah,
we'll see. I mean, I think by the end of the season, like, I think you're going to have Malik Monk in the closing lineup instead of Bazemore and Westbrook.
I was a little surprised by that.
That was a weird closing lineup they had out there with Avery Bradley. Like,
well, Bradley was just playing well. He had a couple big threes there in the fourth quarter.
But, like, they just signed him off the street, like, I believe from the Warriors. And, like, I mean, yeah, he's out there. He only played 8 minutes, but still, like, he's in your closing lineup. That seems...
Well, that's the thing, though, because they also need defense. They needed somebody to run around with Steph Curry and try to affect him. I know he wasn't great last night shooting-wise, but still, late in the fourth quarter, that's why they had Bradley out there. And Russ Westbrook just doesn't really do that well, either.
To me, the bigger issue is what's going to happen in those minutes where Westbrook is out there without LeBron, because last night, game one, I think they'll figure it out, but last night, he was off the ball, and it was like, here you go, Rajon Rondo, run this team. And I'm just going to say, like, my big takeaway from that game is, like, you can't have Rajon Rondo and Russell Westbrook out there together.
No.
Like, that's no spacing.
They're like the same player, pretty much. I mean, just penetration, kick it out, whatever.
And it's just, you know, Westbrook wasn't getting the ball. And if he's not getting the ball, he's pretty much useless out there because he's not playing defense, and he's not as effective as he once was at, you know, crashing the boards to get an offensive rebound. He only got one of those last night. So, you know, they do have some roster, you know, makeup issues. But I will say it's game one, and I think the Lakers, you know, think they can get it right and be ready for the playoffs. But they're not going to get, you know, 67 points from LeBron James and Anthony Davis every night. Those guys were both awesome, and it didn't matter. I had more of a takeaway just about the Warriors game one. I think the Warriors are going to be good.
Yeah. Love the ball move. Bielitsa, that's it. Yeah.
He's a baller.
That guy's a baller. No look passes, beautiful moves. I was like, man, where'd this guy come from?
He was someone I really liked when he was with Sacramento. Just kind of got lost because Sacramento was so bad.
Right.
Ended up last year at the end of the season with the Heat. They couldn't make it work with him.
Wow, he was with the Heat last year?
I want to say it was a trade deadline. They got him for like a second round pick from the Kings. And like, yeah, like whenever he got there, like, okay, he might make a difference. And then just never really got a chance, was getting 14 minutes a game, and the Heat sucked. But, you know, he does fit this Warrior style where they're moving and can pass the ball and he can shoot it. He dropped in 15 off the bench. You have a guy and Jordan Poole's out there making plays. He's hitting 4 of 11. He looks like a young Steph Curry out there. That was a game where Curry didn't even play well. And
I was going to say, imagine saying Curry goes 5 of 21 and they still win by 7. Still score 121 points.
Had his first triple-double since 2016. But, yeah, you know, 2 of 8 from 3, 5 of 21 from the field. and you still win in Staples because of the bench. They look deeper.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like they actually have a basketball team again, not just a bunch of G Leaguers running around. And I'll say they look pretty locked in, like the bench celebrating, cheering on their teammates. And you might laugh at that, but that's a pretty good indication in night one that they take that seriously and they seem like they're a team that likes each other and is pretty well put together. And that sometimes is worth 5 or 6 wins in the NBA itself if you can get up and like hold each other accountable and have fun with each other. Warriors, to me, a lock to be a top 6 seed.
I would say top 3 seed.
And I was going
to
say
Clay coming back in December, hopefully 100% ready to go. And, hell, maybe they could even hold that off a little bit if they – because they got, like you said, they got a good team right now. They could win a lot of games right now.
I don't want to, like, go that far and say top 3, but, I mean, to me, they're a top 6 until I see Clay. If Clay comes back and he's – you know, vintage Clay, then yeah, sure, he can elevate them even further, but I think it's going to be asking a lot of him, you know, off the ground and running, coming off of 2 injuries like he has. But they're a firm playoff team. They're a fun playoff team, and Steph is going to be right smack dab in the middle or at the top of the MVP rankings. Those are my night one takeaways. We'll talk about this lawsuit. Jeremy Pruitt lawyered up, and it might get ugly, boys. We'll talk about it next. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. Too cheery of music for the topic we're about to tackle, but, man, Tennessee has a deadline. October 29th. October 29th, that's the deadline for Tennessee to agree to cut the check to Jeremy Pruitt. He wants his $6 million. And the lawyers have said, look, we ain't bluffing. We ain't bluffing. If you don't give us our money, we're going to get ugly. We're going to get down the mud. We're going to expose everything and go ahead and keep the records for all these guys involved with all your programs because we're taking them down too. We ain't bluffing. Now, you know, anybody who's played poker knows sometimes the guy that's acting like he's not bluffing and saying he's not bluffing is, in fact, bluffing. Sometimes when you sit at the poker table and you say, I wouldn't call this, got a good hand. It's called reverse psychology driving.
I know how reverse psychology works.
Well, sometimes you are bluffing. So if you're Tennessee, do you just make this go away? Or do you risk going to court and having some of your biggest donors like Mr. Pratt, who I assume is of the family of Pratt Pavilion, big basketball booster, Larry, I believe.
Yeah.
I just wanted to say I believe. I don't want to get involved in any litigation myself. Allegedly, I assume that's who they're talking about. Rick Barnes and Bobby Mays. Phil Fulmer, who cares? Like, whatever. We know there's some problems with the football program already that Fulmer and Pruitt and all them were involved in. So far, basketball hasn't really been looped into it, but according to these lawyers, they are willing to talk about basketball if they need to. To which Rick Barnes came out and slam dunked Jeremy Pruitt, pun intended, and just said, look, it's sad to see Jeremy go this route for all the people who supported him here. And essentially, his problems is simply the result of reaping what he sowed, and he has no one to blame but himself.
John, let me ask you this. Let's just play a little hypothetical game here. Okay. I'm not going to pick one side or the other. I'm not going to do anything like that. But don't you think a guy who's never going to get a head coaching job ever again, right? We could agree with that. Pruitt's never going to get a head coaching job. Unless maybe high school, maybe some really low-level college, but highly, highly doubtful he's going to get another coaching job. So basically, he's got to.
Another head coaching
job. Head coaching job, right. He's got to hit on these assistant jobs, maybe in the NFL. Maybe he could go back to college and be an assistant somewhere, whatever. Maybe coach the corners at best.
He has said coming out of this lawsuit, you know, some of the reports was that Pruitt is content staying in the NFL.
Okay.
Which I think is a line of bluffing of like, I don't care to burn this all the way down, and I don't care about any potential show calls I get in college because I'm staying in the NFL. The NFL doesn't really care if you guys cheat in college because it's a different league, it's a different sport.
Mm-hmm.
They don't really care. So he's like, nope, I don't care to burn it down and stay in the NFL. So go ahead with your question.
I was going to say, but don't you think, like, reputation-wise, you don't – like, he would look just absolutely just the biggest idiot in the world if he this was all just kind of fabricated, right? If he was just kind of making this up, especially with the basketball program, bringing in Rick Barnes, all that. Like, wouldn't he, like, why would he make this up? Why would he do all this? When, again, like, you may not ever get a coaching job anywhere after this. People would be like, man, really? Like, you make all this up just to get some money? Like, well, I feel like his reputation is all on the line.
Well, okay.
With him saying all this.
Well, what I would say is, with you prefacing that he's not going to get a head coaching job anytime soon, I would say that to me, if that's the case, $12 million is definitely worth it. I mean, theoretically, if you get your settlement, or let's just say that Tennessee is like, you know what, we don't actually want to have to turn this over because, let's face it, there might be some things there in the basketball program. I'm not accusing Rick Barnes of cheating. I'm just accusing college basketball of being one of the dirtiest sports. Like, again, this isn't about Rick Barnes, but, you know, is it possible? There are some things that went on in the basketball program. Yeah. So if you're Tennessee, do you really want that to even, like, happen? And to come out in court, is it not easier just to come back to him and say, look, here's $7 million. Do you want to go away? And if you're Jerry Pruitt and you know, like, hey, I'm never getting a big coaching job again, $7 million might be worth it. You might look and say, you know what, $7 million, I can live with that. I can buy a whole lot of skull, buy a whole lot of scratch-offs and beer. So, I mean, it could just be a leverage play where he is – bluffing, and yeah, there are some things there, but maybe nothing that would actually take down Tennessee. But if you're Tennessee, it's not any different than when these celebrities get sued. And sometimes you're like, you know what? I don't even want to go to, you know, litigation over this. Here's some of this money. We can afford $7 million of this. Just go away. I'll tell you what, I bet Deshaun Watson wishes he would have done it.
Yep.
I bet Deshaun Watson wishes he just would have given a couple $100,000 a piece to these women and kept them out of the news.
So you think Tennessee should just,
I think Tennessee
just get rid
have,
of it?
I think Tennessee should have paid him whenever it happened. I thought, I mean, what we did to our football program is inexcusable, in my opinion. Like, it's rinky-dink Mickey Mouse stuff. And, like, kind of fitting you went and hired an AD from Disneyland after that. But I know it wasn't his fault. But, like, I think the whole operation was bad. They tried to undermine their whole program to save some money because they didn't have it in them. They didn't have the gall. They didn't have the guts to fire Jerry Pruitt. Just for being a bad football coach.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't have the guts just to be like, hey, you're not getting it done. This team's won 3 games. The product isn't very good. You're not a very likable person. I don't know if it's because they couldn't get Philip Fulmer on board with it because it was his pick. If Don didn't want to cut the check. If Randy didn't want to cut the check. None of the boosters came up and was willing to do it. I don't know. But you torpedoed your own program. Now, would the NCAA have come calling anyways? Would they have found out about the McDonald's bags and all of that? Like, yeah, sure, maybe. But you made it a lot worse. You invited them in.
Mm-hmm.
You invited the wolf into the chicken coop. All because you didn't just want to give him $12 million. Whenever you have a team like South Carolina, a program like South Carolina, I was like, yeah, here's however many it was, $15, $16, $17, $18 million, Will Muschamp, just go away.
During a pandemic.
Right.
Right in the middle of the pandemic.
A lot of coaches got fired. I understood not wanting to be the first school to do it. To basically just be like, you know what? We're cutting a check while everyone's out of work and the country's in turmoil. We don't know if everyone's going to die. God, think of your grandparents. I understood not wanting to be the first school to be like, hey, we're going to fire you because college football is that important. But once other schools started firing people, you had an easy way to just be like, you know what? Yeah, Jerry Pruitt, you suck too. But instead, Tennessee was like, you know what? They're cheating, actually. Let's come in here and investigate this. We're going to fire him for cause. And you know that not many coaches are going to take that laying down. I would say that the number of coaches who have taken a firing for cause laying down, 3%, 5% at most. I mean, like, this lawyer... was talking about how he represented David Beatty at Kansas, and he got fired for cause, and he lawyered up, and I just saw this week that David Beatty has been cleared by the NCAA of any wrongdoing at Kansas, so I'm imagining he got some money.
I would say so. Yep.
We just saw what happened with what's his name, Rachikowski or whatever you say his name up at Washington State.
Rolovich.
Yeah. They're trying to fire him for cause, and he just came out today and was like, lawyered up, gonna make it ugly, gonna get my money.
Yeah.
Everyone's going to at least lawyer up and try to get their money. Very few people are just going to be like, you know what? Yeah, that's fine. I'll take $0.
Did Hugh Freeze get any money when he got fired for cause?
I don't know if Ole Miss fought him or not.
That could be the one that I was thinking of. Like, that was like, well, there's not really much to defend about that.
And I don't
know
if McElwain did either.
Yeah.
I don't know. I know they tried to fire him for cause. But, you know, could LSU have done the same thing to Ed Orgeron? Probably. Like, hey, Ed, like, you know, this whole Title IX thing was under your watch. This whole alienating your players during the protests last year, under your watch. The whole, like, bringing your girlfriend's kids to practice and letting them run through drills is negligence. Not only is that, it's giving us big loss. It's giving us big insurance liability there whenever you have kids out there running drills. I'm sure they weren't getting, like, hit and stuff. But, like, you know, tear an ACL or something. You don't do that, those type of things. So they could have maybe tried to fire Ed O for cause. Instead, they're like, you know what? Here's $17 million. Just go away. Now, maybe Tennessee just digs in. They want to go to court. But I can't think of many, you know, big-time programs that want to do that.
I mean, Tennessee, didn't they send that article yesterday that they want to go to court?
Yeah, but that's what you say publicly. And then maybe you call them behind the door, you know, closed doors, and be like, hey, you know, here's $7 million. I mean, Kobe was willing to go to court, too, during his case, right? He's like, you know what? Let's just make this go away. Here's some money. Here's a settlement behind closed doors. You say you're going to court, but very rarely do you actually go to court. Almost always, you take plea deals or you strike just a bargain in civil cases, obviously.
It's just not worth it, man. Get rid of this guy.
It's not.
You know?
It's not.
Let's just get rid of this guy.
And if you would have done the right thing, who knows? Maybe you aren't facing NCAA sanctions. Maybe your coaching search doesn't strike out because the NCAA is calling and, like, you have to hire Josh Heupel, which, you know, however you feel about Josh Heupel, like, I don't think he'd have been on the top of anybody's list last year. I don't think he's at the top of Danny White's list last year.
Mm-hmm.
You torpedoed your own program, and you might end up still having to pay him. And if you don't pay him, you might have your basketball program torpedoed too. Are we confident that all of a sudden Rick Barnes is like, you know what, I'm going to start recruiting now and getting these 5-stars with nothing shady going on? Are you sure about that? I'm not saying he did cheat, but I'm saying, are you sure? I'm asking.
Don't you say that about good old boy Rick.
I'm not saying anything. I'm asking a question. Are you positive that in college basketball, the dirtiest sport probably in the country, are you sure there wasn't some cheating going on to go all of a sudden start getting these 5-stars? Are you sure there haven't been some kickbacks for Bobby Mays? Hey, Bobby, thanks for Jaden Springer. Hey, thanks for Huntley Hatfield. Hey, thanks for all these kids that you are, you know, helping us get in on. You sure that Bobby ain't got a kickback? Somebody that you probably feel like you owe money to anyways because he helped build the program, like.
How do you think Pruitt would know about it, though? How would he know what's going on behind the scenes with the basketball program? Just word of mouth? Just hearing stuff, I guess?
Dad, or he has somebody still on the inside, or, I mean, it's just common sense, man. Like, I'm sure him and, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I don't know if him and Barnes are out there having conversations about it, but I would imagine every high-level football coach or basketball coach, like, knows, like, and we, as fans, know. As fans, know. We don't care. Put up a poll. Do people cheat in college football? Pretty much everyone's like, yeah. Yeah, there's some illegal recruiting going on. Yeah, people get money. We all know that. We're going to act like it doesn't happen in basketball. Like, I know for a fact, like, I mean, players, I've been friends with players around the school and, like, been with them when they've gotten a brochure handed to them with just, like, $200 bills in it. Like, hey, good game from a booster. It's commonplace. We all know it happens. Like, if they're getting a couple $100 here and there, like, no one has a problem with it. Like, we all have, like, swung to the other side. And the NCAA has swung to the other side. They're kind of like, you know what? Get your money, whatever. We don't really care.
Yeah.
I guess what I just can get over is, like, if you're his lawyer, like, how could you feel good about, like, putting him on the stand? Like, if all he's going to be doing is just, like, telling on himself with, like, the cross-examination and stuff like that. I mean, and then what if he does, like, blame Fulmer? Like, we fired him too. So, like, I don't really
know. No, we didn't. Fulmer resigned.
Well, I guess, yes.
Fulmer got paid. Which I don't know if that matters in the court of public. Like, I don't know if it matters, like, in the actual courtroom. But Fulmer didn't get disgraced, and Fulmer has been implicated in this. Like, hey, keep your emails and your text messages, big boy. We want these too. Fulmer's talking about knowing where the body's buried. Ironically, maybe Jeremy Pruitt does too. Because we didn't fire Philip Fulmer. We didn't give him the same amount of public disgrace that we gave Jeremy Pruitt. And if I'm Jeremy Pruitt, I probably would feel a type of way about that as well.
We try to make Fulmer seem like the good guy in this case. Seem like the guy that tried, yeah.
Yep. Now, I don't know what type of mentorship goes on there, but, like, I mean, Philip Fulmer, again, I'm not going to think that we were clean in the 90s. I don't know. I wasn't around, but I just don't think anybody was clean anywhere. You don't think Fulmer had a couple of tricks of the trade? Here, Jeremy, here's how you're supposed to do it. I'm just saying, like, if I'm Tennessee, do you really want to risk it? Is $7 million worth it? It ain't my money, but it don't seem worth it. I know you just lost $250,000 because your fans are throwing stuff on the field. That's partly your fault, too, for the product you've given us for over a decade. But you sure you want to risk it over $7 or $8 million? Hell, at 12, would you even care? Maybe at this point you have to feel like you're getting some type of win if you're Tennessee. Like, hey, we'll give you 10. We'll give you 10. Just take 10 and go.
Which Please.
That's what they should have done in the first place.
Right.
That's what they should have done in the first place. Yet here we are. And again, maybe you can say Jerry Pruitt is full of it. He's a liar. Or maybe you can just say, we don't want this happening. Because again, I think if you ask fans, we all kind of have an understanding that there's some cheating that goes on in recruiting. Unless, I mean, I guarantee if you ask Tennessee basketball fans, do you think Kentucky cheats? Yeah. You think LSU cheats? We know. We heard it on the phone tap. I
kind of know that one.
You think Alabama's cheating right now in Nate Oates? Yeah, probably. All that football money spilling over. You didn't seem as sure about that when you think Nate Oates is doing it the right way.
I don't know.
I mean, I just think, like, we all know that other teams are cheating. So, like, you sure your team is the one that's clean? Really? Of every, like, high-level basketball program, like, you're the one that's clean? And again, I'm not saying Barnes is a cheater, so please, Rick, if you're listening, don't sue
me. I mean, Rick Barnes said, hey, NCAA, come check us out if you want. He's like, come any day of the week, you can come by and see us.
Well, I think that's what you say, regardless.
Well, yeah, but... Yeah.
I think there is an element to, like, getting the ball rolling in basketball and, like, getting all these guys who are playing together already. Like,
there might
to come in and
there might
something
be.
Like that. More so than, like, football, where it's like last spring, it was like, golly, we got the number one recruiting class in the country. We've got 11 recruits in, like, 20 days. Like,
there might be. But, again, do you think Kentucky's cheating at recruiting? Do you think they've been cheating under Cal? And yeah, I'm not even saying, like, bad cheating like LSU. I'm just saying, like,
I think he was cheating in Memphis. I mean, that was
sure. But at Kentucky, proven. You don't think, like, those big-time prospects are getting $50,000 at least to come there?
Yeah, probably.
And I don't have a problem with it again, but, like, you could be – and that's with, you know, Cal having a track record of getting guys top five picks.
Yeah.
He's had a hell of a lot more
success. And just Kentucky basketball in
general. Right, but you've had a hell of a lot more success of putting guys in the NBA than, like, Rick Barnes in Tennessee has. I know Barnes did, you know, pretty good at that at Texas, but he didn't have Calipari's track record. Like, LSU had to cheat to keep Devontae Smart in Baton Rouge. Maybe Jeremy Pruitt has nothing. Or maybe he has something that takes down, like, your, you know, one of your main cash cows. And you just say, is it really worth it? If you're Rick Barnes, how do you feel? Because, like, you could easily point and say, like, this is all Phil Fulmer's fault. Like, he didn't like Phil Fulmer in the first place. He wanted a different AD anyways.
Mm-hmm.
Those guys apparently didn't like, you know, kind of butted heads. And now because of a guy that Phil Fulmer hired and a program Phil Fulmer, we all acknowledge, like, had his grubby paws, like, heavily on. Like, you know, some people thought that was the reason he hired a coordinator, is that he could kind of be a ball coach. He's out there showing offensive linemen how to block, for God's sake. If I'm Rick Barnes, I'm just like, damn, what are we doing here?
Also, it kind of shows the power of the football team. Like, Rick Barnes is like, I got nothing to do with this, and here it is, getting drug into the whole mess.
Yeah.
Brought about by the football team.
Yeah. So here we are. Here we are. Tennessee has said, you know, we got nothing to hide. We've been transparent. Jerry Pruitt seems to think they haven't been. Rick Barnes said, bring it on. Come check out the program anytime you want. Phil Fulmer put out a little bit less of a convincing statement. It was just like, I told Jeremy when we hired him that Tennessee was a place you didn't have to cheat at. What the hell does that even mean? The hell does that even mean? When I hired him, I was like, hey, you might want to cheat here, but you ain't got to do it here.
That was like his number one rule. It's like, hey, Jeremy, we don't cheat. It's like, really? Well, that's pretty obvious.
We don't have to.
That's what everybody says.
That was his statement. Like, you could have kept that one to yourself, Phil. Maybe just say,
where the hell's he at? Who's interviewing him? Who's getting quotes from him?
It was Mike Wilson's what I saw.
I mean, Fulmer's still around. He's at the damn game on Saturday, wasn't he?
Oh, was he?
I didn't see that. Like I know he was out 2 weeks ago at the South Carolina game on the sidelines. I do think. Again, Tennessee hasn't shunned Fulmer. I gave him a golden parachute, right? I mean, he should have been fired for disgrace as well. He should have got no buyout. Instead, he's getting, what was it, monthly, like, you know, $25,000, $30,000. I've forgotten at this point, but gets monthly, you know.
It's a couple million.
Yeah, I was going to say,
it's a lot of money.
It's like a couple million. It's like a million a year, but so it comes like $60,000 at least or $70,000 a month, whatever it was, maybe even six figures. Like, he's still getting that. Like, he's going to, you know, glide off into the sunset. Going to get paid. And you could say, like, hey, Fulmer earns it. He was probably underpaid during the 90s and 2000s because that's really all we're selling here, and coaches didn't make that much money. He should be more well off than he is. Because, I mean, like, you know, the coaches back then were making, what, like $600,000 a year, $700,000 a year? It was a big deal when the first coach got over a million.
Yeah, I think Fulmer's making over a million, like, his last
few
years.
He was towards the end, but I'm talking about, like, yeah, the 90s and, like, early 2000s. But, like, you know, he should have been, you know. He has to be sick now to, like, see guys that were at his level of success making $7, $8 million a year. Because he would have been one of the highest paid coaches in the country, you know, during that time. Which I'm sure he still probably was, but I'm saying, like, the money would have been $7, $8, $9 million. He'd have been Dabo money. So he probably feels like, you know what, I deserve this buyout. I should be able to retire nice and well. Hell, Tyler Summitt gets his $100,000 a month or whatever it is, you know, through Pat's pension. I should be getting that too. But we didn't disgrace him publicly. We still trot him out and act like he's a good man.
I didn't know Tyler Summitt got paid.
I mean, he got to take over Pat's pension. I mean, essentially, I think is what it was. I mean, so yeah, I mean, like you get to pass it on to your kids. So, I mean, yeah, I mean, he's set. I mean, he makes $100,000 a month or something like that just from.
Where's he coaching now?
I don't know if anywhere.
I thought he was at. No, maybe I'm wrong.
I mean, I don't.
He was at that place, then he got in trouble, right?
Well, yeah, he got in a lot of trouble. I don't think he's allowed to. I didn't mean it for like the stray to him. I was just saying, like, you know, talking about I'm Fulmer. I'm looking at that, and like, I need something good. Mm-hmm. Give me some money, lots of it. I'm underpaid. And here we are. 9 days. What do you think? Tennessee going to pony up, make it go away, or are we going to court?
They'll pay? Don't you think?
I don't know. Can you pay now? Because I feel like now that these statements have come public, like, if you do pay now, it's like, well, where are they hiding?
I was going to ask that. Like, would the NCAA still be like, huh, might want to look into that still, even though nothing, like, came out officially? Think they'd still maybe do something about that?
Is it worth it? Do you just go to court and try to get him under oath about stuff at Alabama? Maybe that's our play. As Tim writes in, says some people in Tuscaloosa sweat. Maybe that's it. Maybe that's the long game. We get him on the stand and start asking about all the cheating he did at Alabama. Try to take down Saban while we're at it.
Wow.
We'll torpedo the basketball program to take down Alabama football. Maybe we're playing some chess here. Who knows? Hour one of Talk Sports is brought to you by the book at Harris Cherokee. Take advantage of their large viewing area. 90-foot screen. You can get all the action. Man, that basketball game would have looked good on that last night, Draven.
Mm.
So with that Cody Bellinger 3-run bomb, just whoop. He crushed that. Hayden's running around his room dancing.
I told you they're going to choke. I told you.
They also have 3 private fan caves for rent for you and your boys. Get your own TVs, convenient access to the betting kiosks, portable charger points. I can never say that. Portable charger ports. Either way, you get it. The book at Harris Cherokee. Support the people who support us. Hour one of the books. We'll kick off hour two with headlines. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.